ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. వివేక చూడామణి శ్లోక 117. సత్వం విశుద్ధం జలవత్ తథాపి తాభ్యాం మిలిత్వా శరణాయ కల్పతే యత్రాత్మబింబ ప్రతిబింబితః సన్ ప్రకాశయత్యర్క ఇవాఖిలం జడం. సో శంకరాచార్య హీఈస్ డిస్కసింగ్ ది కారణ శరీరం ఇన్ ది శ్లోకాస్ వి ఆర్ సీయింగ్ నౌ. అండ్ యాస్ వాస్ మెన్షన్డ్ ఎర్లియర్ ది ఆచార్య డస్ నాట్ డిఫరెన్షియేట్ between the karana shariram at the individual level or the vyashti level and karana prapancha in the total level, otherwise called avidya. There are other names for this visadam: avidya at the vyashti level and maya at the samashti level, at the total level, because the differences are not differentiable at the karana shariram level. And we have seen the acharya dealing with the rajoguna and tamoguna of karana shariram, rajoguna being the cause of vikshepa shakti or the projection, the ability to project, and tamoguna being the cause of avarana shakti or the covering or the veiling power. Now Shankaracharya is coming to the sattva guna topic, and he is subdividing sabguna, sattvaguna itself into three types, as it were. All these things we did in the last webinar, I am just only refreshing. Number one, it's one in which it is overpowered by rajas and tamas. It is called malina sattvam. And the second sattvam, in which the rajas and tamas, they do not overpower but are there almost equally, which acharya calls it as mishra sattvam. And the third type of sattvam is that in which the sattva is so dominant that both rajas and tamas are both subservient to sattva guna. This is called shuddha sattva or vishuddha sattva. The acharya points out that in malina sattvam, a person is a samsari. Because rajas and tamas, they both dominate, his life is not a very intelligent life, because sattva is secondary for him. He will be a samsari only. That is, he will be doing lot of activity without asking why I am so much active at all. What do I want to accomplish in life? He does not know. He will try to question if it is, you know, even if after 70 or 80, you know, when most of the life is over, at that time he will be asking what I have been doing all these years. And Krishna says, actually, in the Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya Yoga, chapter 19, he says, Mogasha moga karmana moga jnana vichetasaha rakshasi masurin chaiva prakriti mohinim shritaha. Of vain hopes, vain actions, vain knowledge, all of them are all wasteful things and senseless. These people, what do? They are possessed of the deceitful nature of rakshasars and asuras. That is how Krishna condemns them. So rakshasi prakriti is raja pradhana and asuri prakriti is tama pradhana. Vikshepa shakti and avarana shakti. Given to rajasic or asuric nature, their entire life is a waste, because they have traveled from samsara to samsara to samsara only endlessly. This is malina sattvam, the first category. And in mishra sattvam, what happens? A person is neither a total samsari or malina sattvam, nor is he liberated person. Shuddha sattvam is liberated person. We saw that also. So mishra sattvam is one who is working for liberation. He is work in progress, who has diagnosed the problem and has become a sadhana chaturshtaya sampanna adhikari. He has become. So he is now eligible to pursue jnana yoga. So even the technically samsari, the person who is a technically samsari malinasattvam, he is a different samsari because he has diagnosed the problem. Compared to a malinasattvam samsari, this mishrasattvam samsari, he is a little advanced because he has diagnosed the problem and he has acquired the qualifications also to solve the problem, and he is already on the road to recovery. He is already on the treatment plan, treatment already he is. So only a question of time for him. This is Mishra Sattvam, the second type. He is an Ajnani only, but a pure-minded Ajnani, because Karma Yoga is with him. Then the Acharya talks about the Shuddha Sattva, where a person has acquired the knowledge, Aham Brahmasmi knowledge he has got, and is a free person. He has acquired that knowledge. So Shloka 117 that we saw in the last webinar, that talks about Malina Sattvam, which we already saw. Sloka 118 that we are going to do today, it talks about Mishra Sattvam, and Sloka 119 will talk about Shuddha Sattvam. We will see both the shlokas today. Sloka 118. Mishrasya Sattvasya Bhavanti Dharmaha Tvamanita Adhyaniyama Yamadhyaha Shraddhacha Bhaktischa Mumukshutacha Daivicha Sampatti Rasannivrittihi. So here the Acharya says, Mishrasya Sattvasya Dharmaha Bhavanti. The following are the characteristics, the expressions of Mishra Sattva personality. When we say Mishra Sattvam, Mishra Sattva personality, in which Sattva Guna is dominant. Rajo Guna and Tamo Gunas are not totally subservient, but they are in some decent proportion. For example, Sattva Guna is 50% and Rajas and Tamas, they both each will be 25%, something like that. So he says, Mishrasya Sattvasya Dharmaha Bhavanti. Dharma here represents the characteristics, the expressions in a person. Dharma. What are those? Amanitadhya. All virtues mentioned in Gita chapter 13. They will be all prevalent in him. What are those? That means Shankaracharya assumes when a person comes to Viveka Chudamani, he has already gone through the virtues mentioned in the 13th chapter. There are 5 shlokas in the 13th chapter which talk about the important virtues, important qualifications required for learning, understanding and assimilating Vedanta. And it begins with the 7th shloka of chapter 13, even though I am not going to give the details of all the meaning and all now. We have already covered it in detail in our Gita lectures, so people can refer to those lectures. But because these are important shlokas, I would just only read them here. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa kshanti rajavam acharyopasanam shaucham stairyamatma vinigraha Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrityujara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam asaktirana bishvangaha putradhara grihadishu nityancha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu mayicha ananya yogena bhaktiravya bicharini viviktadesha sevitvam arathirjana samsatim Adhyatmajnana Nityatvam Tattvajnanartha Darshanam Etat Jnanamiti Proktam Ajnanam Yatat Onyata. So these are all the shlokas, shloka 7 to shloka 11. In chapter 13, they talk about the various virtues which the Acharya is referring to here by using this word Amanitadhyaha. And there the uniqueness is what? Instead of calling them the values of life, Krishna calls them as jnanam itself. This also we saw in the Gita lectures. He calls these virtues themselves as jnanam to convey the idea that if a person has these virtues, knowledge is as good as having taken place. It is very near to him. Knowledge means self-knowledge. So that means self-knowledge will not take much struggle for this person to acquire. Even a casual learning from a competent guru will give him the self-knowledge. That is why Krishna calls it as jnanam. Jnanam iti proktam. That's what he means. So I want to take a diversion and deal with every value given here. Starting with amanitvam. Amanitvam is humility. Adambitvam, simplicity. Ahimsa, Shantihi, all those values. Shankara expects us to be the seekers of self-knowledge and so to live these values. That's why he just only mentions them here. Amanitvam is humility. The first qualification is humility or vinayaha. And adhyaha, by that he means etc. All the other things accompanying amanitvam, which means amanitvam and other qualities. Similarly, the fourth line, Acharya says, he repeats the same thing and other important virtues also, which are compulsory for a Vedantic seeker and which comes in the 16th chapter of the Gita. And there the virtues are named Daivi Sampath. So this is also another Daivasura Sampath Vibhaga Yoga, the 16th chapter, the first three shlokas. They are called Daivi Sampath. And so in Viveka Chudamani, virtues are named as what? Mishra Sattvam. So what Krishna called as virtues in 13th and the 16th chapters, the Daivi Sampath in 16th chapter and Jnanam itself in the 13th chapter, the Acharya, Shankaracharya calls them as Mishra Sattvam in Viveka Chudamani. So all these three words are synonymous. Jnanam of 13th chapter, Daivi Sampath of the 16th chapter and Mishra Sattvam of Viveka Chudamani 118th shloka, all are synonymous. And these refer to the same set of ethics or morality. Vedanta emphasizes morality. The only difference is what? Vedanta morals are only enumerated, whereas the elaboration are given in the Puranas, where stories and stories are written, for example, to highlight one value or the other. For example, one statement, Satyam Vada, in the Upanishads, and Satyameva Jayate of the Upanishads, an entire Harishchandra Purana was written, running to thousands and thousands of shlokas. So the entire thing will focus only on this value. So Viveka Chudamani does not concentrate on analysis of values, but it only enumerates the values. Even that enumeration, Shankaracharya does not complete. He says only take care of, you know, care of Gita, Bhagavad Gita. So he assumes that we are all in very high level when we come to Viveka Chudamani. So minimum we have already finished Bhagavad Gita. That's what he hopes. Otherwise, how can he just say Amanitadhyaha and leave? He cannot just do that. So in the Sanskrit commentary of Viveka Chudamani by Jagadguru Chandrasekhara Bharati Mahaswamiji of Sri Sharada Pitam Sringeri, he quotes all the five shlokas of Gita and writes elaborate commentary on them. That is why I chose to at least read the five shlokas today. Similarly, from the 16th chapter, Daivasura Sampath Vibhaga Yoga, shlokas 1 to 3, so they are also called the Daivi Sampath. Those shlokas also I will just read. Abhayam Sattvasham Shuddhihi Jnana Yoga Vyavasthitihi Danam Damascha Yajnascha Swadhyayastapa Arjavam Ahimsa Asatyama Krodaha Tyagashantira Paishunam Daya Bodeshwalo Luptvam Mardavam Hrira Chapalam Tejah Akshamadhriti Saucham Adroho Nati Manitam Bhavanti Sampatam Daivim Abhijatasya Bharatam. So again, another 19 or 20 values are given in the 16th chapter. So the first value highlighted is Abhayam here in this particular set of virtues. One should be fearless to follow Dharma, because following Dharma means what? Conflicts, crisis, material deprivation, so many things. Many times all these things happen. If a person decides to be dharmic, he should be ready to face all kinds of problems, including criticism from society. Whomsoever follows honesty, simplicity, straightforwardness, they will call him mostly foolish. They will call him simpleton. They call him Buddhu, perhaps. He does not know the world. All these things are all talked about this person. So to deal with all these and still stay focused on values, it requires enormous conviction, enormous courage. That is why Krishna tells in the Gita, Swadharme Nidanam Shreyaha Paradharmo Bhayavahaha. Because I consider moksha to be superior to all material comforts of the world. So Krishna says, fearlessness is the first value in the 16th chapter to uphold Dharma. So for the explanation of Amanidadhyaha of the second line of this shloka, let us please refer to the lectures on the 13th chapter and 16th chapter, which are all posted already in the website. So the 16th chapter is not actually done yet completely. We are, you know, we have to still do it, but 13th is done. Deva Asura Sampat Vibhaga Yoga has to be done yet. We are in the fourth, we finished 14th chapter, we'll be starting 15th now. And if you are interested to know the detailed meaning, please refer to those notes. And then Niyamaha and Yamadhyaha. Sage Patanjali, he has written his Ashtanga Yoga Shastra, which is one of the most beautiful and ideal sciences to integrate the personality at the physical level, moral level, intellectual level, spiritual level, at all levels. The personality should be healthy. Not only that, all should function in coordination, also in harmony. So some people are emotionally balanced, but physically they will have all kinds of diseases and all. Some people are physically good, but emotional problems will be there. If both are there, the person may have no intellectual power, intellectually may be blunt. How to take care of all the three and also function in coordination? Ashtanga Yoga provides a solution with 8 steps mentioned there, of which the first two, they deal with our character or values, and without them, actually Patanjali tries to tell that physical health and spiritual progress are not possible without them at all. Patanjali emphasizes very clearly. So the first value given is Yamaha, consisting of 5 types of don'ts or avoidances. What are the things which should not be done? They are called Yamaha. And the second one is Niyamaha. Niyama means 5 types of do's. What should be done? Which are to be positively followed. What are not to be followed? The don'ts and the do's. So Yama is Nisheda. And Niyama is Vidhi. Vidhi, Nisheda. Niyama, Yama. So that's what it is. Swamiji calls all these 5 Vidayaha and 5 Nishedaha as 10 commandments of Hinduism. He gives this as a title, 10 commandments. We will only enumerate them here. We are not going to discuss them here. We have already done this also in other places. The 5 avoidances or don'ts, they are what? Ahimsa, Satyam, Asteyam, Brahmacharyam, and Aparigraha. Here we have to be careful in understanding the meaning. Let us not think that avoidance of Ahimsa is the value. It is avoidance of Himsa. That is, there is nothing to do in Ahimsa, and so it is Nivritti Rupa. Ahimsa is Nivritti Rupa. It should be avoided, not Pravritti Rupa. Similarly, Satyam also is Nivritti Rupam from Asatyam. From Asatyam, one should not do Asatyam. One is always Satyam. That is, either speak truth or keep quiet, but never speak untruth. So truthfulness is avoidance of untruthfulness. So asteya, and again, same thing, asteya nivritti, also stealing. Asteyam is possessing someone else's wealth, generally. Actually, it is stealing. Avoidance of stealing, nivritti from stealing. That is what is emphasized. And the ultimate asteyam is nothing is your wealth. That is the knowledge. It is the understanding that everything belongs to the Lord. That means even the legitimate things I think I have, I belong to me, they are also God's only. And then Brahmacharyam, sexual purity or chastity, avoidance of all illegitimate sexual relationship is called Brahmacharyam. At all levels, Kayikam, Vachikam, Manasam, even though Brahmacharyam is put positively, it is avoidance of unchastity, Nivritti. Finally, Aparigraham, avoidance of amassing wealth, leading a simple life with lesser possessions and sharing with other human beings. And even with regard to if the lesser possessions, I don't claim ownership of them. They are all God's grace to me and belong to Him. It's a concept of trusteeship only, as Gandhiji said. Nivritti of Mamakara. Whatever is, I think, is mine. There is nothing like mine. They are all grace of God. So these are the 5 don'ts. They are called Yamas. And the 5 niyamas are saucham. Saucham is purity. Doing everything positively for maintaining purity at all levels. At the physical level, at verbal level, and mental level. Purity. Then santoshaha. Positively entertaining the idea of contentment. I am happy with what I have. I am not jealous of anyone else. Mooda jahihi dhanagama trishnam కురు సద్బుద్ధిం మనసి వితృష్ణ ఎల్లభసే నిజ కర్మోపాత్తం విత్తం తేన వినోదయ చిత్తం. ఆచార్య సెడ్ సాటిస్ఫైడ్ విత్ వాట్ ఐ ఎర్న్ విత్ మై ఓన్ రిసోర్సెస్ దట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ సంతోష. దెన్ తపః పాజిటివ్లీ ఫాలోయింగ్ మోడరేషన్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఫస్ట్ ఇయర్ అవాయిడెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్సెసెస్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ వెదర్ సెన్సరీ పర్స్యూట్ ఆర్ జ్ఞానేంద్రియ వ్యాపార ఆర్ కర్మేంద్రియ వ్యాపార వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్క్లూడింగ్ ఈటింగ్ టాకింగ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ నో ఎక్సెసెస్ అట్ ఆల్. దెన్ స్వాధ్యాయ స్టడీ ఆఫ్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్ అండ్ లుకింగ్ అపాన్ ఇట్ యాజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ డ్యూటీస్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్. వేదో నిత్యం అధీయతాం దట్స్ వాట్ ఆచార్య సెడ్ వన్ షుడ్ లెర్న్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్ అండ్ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి రెగ్యులర్. ఫైనలీ ఈశ్వర ప్రణిధాన వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ ఏ రిలీజియస్ ఏ ప్రేయర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ షుడ్ బి లెడ్. కృష్ణ సేస్ యజ్ఞానాం జప యజ్ఞోస్మి ఇన్ ది విభూతి యోగా హీ సేస్ ది బెస్ట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞ ఈస్ డూయింగ్ జప. దర్ ఇస్ నో మనీ నీడెడ్ నో ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ యూ కెన్ డూ ద జప వేర్ ఎవర్ వన్ ఇస్. సో వేర్ దర్ ఇస్ సో ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇఫ్ పాసిబుల్ కీప్ ఆన్ డూయింగ్ ఇట్ వెన్ ఎవర్ యూ క్యాన్. సో సింపుల్ పూజ టెంపుల్ విసిట్ పిల్గ్రిమేజ్ సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ప్రేయర్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ అ మస్ట్. So Dayana Swamiji nicely says, we don't believe in secular Vedanta. Some people, they want to separate Vedanta from religion. Temple, puja, vibhuti, kungumam, namam, all that. They want to filter all of them out. And study Vedanta as a pure physical system, as having come from the brilliant intellect of Adi Shankara or all those great rishis. Shankaracharya says, none of those things at all. Religion must be intermixed with Vedanta. There is no Indian philosophy without God, or prayer, or religious life, or doing namaskara, none of those things. There is no such Vedanta without any of this. This is Ishwara Pranidhanam. All these fives are niyamas, are the do's. They are all the natural expression of Mishra Sattva Guna. We are talking about the second type of Sattva Guna, called Mishra Sattva Guna. So, what all have been talked about so far? Amanitvam, Daivi Sampath, Niyama, and Yama. And in each one, many items are there. Shankaracharya does not go to those details. He just only mentions them here. Then what is the next expression of Mishra Sattvam? Shraddha. Shraddha is faith in God and in the scriptures. Until I discover very clearly what is meant by God principle, truth principle, what do they mean? Normally the scientific approach is what? Until I discover, I don't believe. That is what science says. But our traditional approach is what? Until I discover, I believe. I believe in the scriptures. Called Shraddha. So that's what. So our agnosticism is belief and then to discover. I will believe God is, even though I have not understood it yet. But with faith, continue the study and discover God. That is why Dayana Swami says repeatedly, these people say that those believe in God are foolish. And I also say the same thing because our aim is not to stop in the belief only, but stop after getting the God knowledge. So it can be only a belief in the beginning, but it's a matter of understanding. Until then, Shraddha, faith. Then what? Bhakti, reverence to the Lord, Ishwara, Guru. ఉపనిషత్ వన్ ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ యస్య దేవే పరాభక్తి యథా దేవే తథా గురౌ తస్యైతే కథితా హ్యర్థాః ప్రకాశంతే మహాత్మనః. ద వన్ హూ హాస్ గాట్ ఇంటెన్స్ డివోషన్ టు ద లార్డ్ అండ్ ఆల్సో ఈక్వలీ ఇంటెన్స్ డివోషన్ టు హిస్ గురు యథా దేవే వాట్ ఎవర్ అమౌంట్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి వన్ హ్యాస్ ఫర్ ద గాడ్ తథా గురౌ దట్ మచ్ భక్తి టువర్డ్స్ ద గురు ఆల్సో తస్యైతే కథితా హ్యర్థాః ప్రకాశంతి మహాత్మనః ప్రకాశంతే మహాత్మనః. టు దాట్ మహాత్మ టు ద గ్రేట్ డివోటీ ఆల్ ద ఉపనిషత్స్ విల్ బికమ్ క్రిస్టల్ క్లియర్ ఓన్లీ ఫార్ దాట్ పర్సన్ ప్రకాశంతే. దర్ఫోర్ భక్తి ఈస్ అగైన్ ఏ ట్రెయిట్ ఆఫ్ మిశ్రసత్వం. వీఆర్ నౌ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ది క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ మిశ్రసత్వం అట్రిబ్యూట్స్. దెన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ న్యాచురల్ ఎక్స్ప్రెషన్ ఈస్ ముముక్షుతాచ. When one shifts from Malina Sattvam to Mishra Sattvam, the priorities of life, they take a big change. At Malina Sattva level, Dharma, Artha, Kama, they are all the priority. At Mishra Sattva level, Moksha becomes the priority. All others are meant for attaining moksha and moksha alone. If I have to choose between moksha and anything else in life, I choose moksha only. That priority shift, that is called mumukshuta. But it is not moksha yet. Let us be careful. There is no moksha in Mishra Sattva level. Desire for moksha alone is there, but moksha itself is not there yet. Moksha is there only for the next stage, that is the Shuddha Sattva category. So even desire for serving the world, etc., they will come under dharma only, which is inferior to moksha. Person can be doing so much of social service, spends the entire time only in serving the world, but still that will not guarantee moksha. That will not give moksha. Unless a person, it will give chitta shuddhi, that's true, and chitta ekagrata, but no moksha. Because many people think that moksha is a selfish pursuit. A lot of people think that. Whereas we define moksha as withdrawing from a few things so that I can expand to accommodate the whole world. Swamiji defines moksha that way. It is withdrawing from a few things because I can expand to accommodate the whole world. Moksha is not a contraction, but it is expansion. I reject a few things like family, wealth, some of those things I do. I renounce them. So that I can take the whole world as family, Vasudhaiva Kutumbakam, one of the entire totality. Without understanding all these people, they say, we want to serve the world and not moksha. If we don't want to gain moksha, we will keep on serving the world. This is called Malina Sattvam. And what is Mishra Sattvam? I want moksha and moksha only. Then Daivi Sampat, Daivi Cha Sampatihi, which we have already talked about earlier. 16th chapter, Daivi Sampat means what? Abhayam, Sattva Samshuddhihi, etc. That is also mentioned in the Gita, chapter 16, that we just read. Then the final one is Asan Nivrittihi. Asat means what? Asat means the Mithya Prapanchaha. The entire Prapancha, the universe is Mithya. The word Sat means Brahman. And Satyam, Asat means Mithya Prapanchaha. And Nivrittihi means turning away from the pursuit of Mithya Prapancha. The entire universe is Mithya. That is Anitya Purushartha. Limited goals of life. These are all Anityam. That is why we said even pursuit of services, etc., we consider only as Asat. Asat Pravrittihi. Because of what? That will lead to Dharma or Punyam. Name, fame, all those things. All of them will come under what? Perishable or limited results only. They are all in the perishable category only. That will even be another type of golden bondage only it will be. Because I will be happy as long as I serve. And when I cannot, I will become unhappy. Even that is a type of bondage only. Whereas moksha is that in which I serve the world, but happiness does not come even from that service of the world. But my happiness comes from myself. I will serve as long as I can. And if I cannot serve tomorrow, since I am old or whatever it is, that also has no difference at all for me. Therefore, in dharma, a person tries to find happiness through service. Whereas in moksha, a person is already happy. With happiness, he will serve. That is the difference. Therefore, even dharma will come under mithya alone. Then what is satyam? Kathopanishad says, Anyatra dharmat, anyatra adharmat. Moksha is something which is beyond dharma and adharma. That is why Krishna says in the Gita, ultimately, sarvadharmanapi parityajya, mamekam sharanam vraja. Go beyond dharma, adharma also. You should not allow even dharma to become a bondage, a shackle. Because many dharmic people are upset when there is a lot of adharma in the world. People say, oh, those days, normally this is a common thing we hear. Those days, things used to be this way, that way. Now these days, you know, there is so much of course, Yuga Dharmasa, they also say, scriptures also say the things, that deterioration of dharma over the ages. So, and both the people are sorrowful. I am dharmic and I am upset. Because he is not able to see the adharmic things that are happening around. So that is also a bondage. And what is freedom? I follow dharma and I am not upset by adharma in the world. That is freedom. I follow dharma at my level, no problem. Whomsoever I can, you know, impose dharma on them and so they can follow for good, I will try to. But if they don't, it won't upset me. As much as possible, I will try to bring dharma around. But whether I succeed or not, whether adharma is there prevalent or not, I am not upset over them. That is going to be beyond dharma. If I am attached to dharma, it is asat pravritti. Asat pravritti only, and going beyond dharma is asan nivrittihi. That's what is used in this shloka. Asan nivrittihi. All these things are natural expressions of what? Mishra sattvam. That is the topic we are seeing. These are all natural expressions of mishra sattvam. Then comes the next question. What is shuddha sattvam? That is said in shloka 119 that we will read.
Vishuddha sattvasya guna prasadaha swatmanubhuti parama prashantihi tripti prakarsha paramatmanishta yaya sadananda rasam samrichyati.
So we are now coming to shuddha sattvam or vishuddha sattvam. Both are same actually. Only the letter V is added actually to fill up the meter. That is all. Vishuddha sattvasya gunaha. The characteristics of the shuddha sattva or vishuddha sattva, they are given here. What are those? Prasadaha. Sadaha means it's derived from the root sad. So praditaihi, to be tranquil. So sadaha means tranquility. And prasadaha means enduring and deep tranquility. Poise of the mind or balance of the mind. That is called prasadaha. Then we may wonder why we call the whatever they give in the temple and all that thing are also prasada. They are also called prasadaha. When we receive something from the temple, there is no critical attitude at all. It is a thing accepted without any resistance. I don't say this is good prasadam, that is bad prasadam. I don't say any of those. No criticism. When criticism and resistance, they go away, the mind becomes tranquil. Because it brings shanti to our minds, it is also indirectly called prasadaha, tranquility of the mind. So the primary meaning of the word prasada is tranquility. So that's what it is, prasannata. Then swatmanubhutihi, one's own atma, swatma, one's own atma, the real nature, which we are going to see later in detail. So anubhutihi, anubhutihi means the immediate knowledge. Actually, it has a special meaning. It is a knowledge in which there is no medium is involved or no medium is required. Because we are talking about the knowledge of consciousness, which does not require any medium. Because consciousness is what? Is self-evident. Because of consciousness, everything is known. Consciousness itself is self-evident. But because of consciousness, everything else becomes evident. Consciousness is known because of what? Not because of another consciousness. Therefore, I, the conscious being, is known not because of any medium, but I am self-evident. That is why in a dark room to say whether I am there or not, I don't need to switch on the light. To see all others in the dark room, I need the light. But to see whether I am there or not in dark room, I don't require my jnanendriyas or karmendriyas. I don't have to even think. It seems some philosopher said, I think, therefore I am. That's what some philosopher said, it seems. And Swamiji asked him, if you have no thought, that means, are you not? So he says, I think, so I am. So if he has no thought, then are you not? That's the question Swamiji asked him. I am, therefore I think sometimes. I think highly or rightly or wrongly, all or later. But I am, that is an eternally evident fact. Therefore, self-knowledge is called aparoksha jnanam, clear knowledge, which is called here anubhutihi. So the knowledge of the self as aham chaitanya swarupaha asmi. I am ever the experiencer and I am never the experienced. This is also a sign of what? Vishuddha sattva only. Vishuddha sattva. And this makes the difference between mishra sattva and shuddha sattva or vishuddha sattva. In the case of mishra sattva, what happens? Atmajnanam is not there. Whereas in the case of shuddha sattva, atmajnanam or atmanubhuti is there. Then what about prasadaha or tranquility? Is it there in the case of mishra sattva?
Here we may get a confusion, because in the case of Mishra Sattva also, prasadaha or poise or tranquility is there. In Mishra Sattva also it is there. So if both tranquility are there, then what is the difference between both of them, Mishra Sattvam and Shuddha Sattvam? What is the difference? That is what we discussed actually in the Bhagavad Gita also. There Krishna said, a karma yogi also has got samatvam. Samatvam yoga uchyate, we saw that. And a jnani also has got samatvam, equanimity. So the difference being, karma yogi samatvam is apekshika samatvam. In Vedanta, we call it apekshika samatvam, delicately balanced samatvam. Anytime it can go off, it is a managed or a deliberate samatvam. He wants to be equanimous. He tries to be, so it becomes still a sadhana for him. So that is the samatvam of a Mishra Sattva Purushaha or a karma yogi. Whereas for a jnani, his samatvam is not delicately balanced at all. It is not deliberately entertained either. It is not a sadhana for him, but it has become spontaneous for him. Therefore, prasadaha is atyantika prasadaha for a Shuddha Sattva Purushaha. For a Shuddha Sattva Purushaha, that is atyantikam. It is spontaneous for him. Prasadaha is apekshika prasadaha for a Mishra Sattva Purushaha. Then parama prashantihi. Prashantihi means peace. Here also we have to differentiate, because adhikari also has peace of mind. Mishra Sattva, that person becomes an adhikari. We said he is eligible for Jnana Yoga. Mishra Sattva Purushaha also is an adhikari. He also has got this peace of mind. That is why when defining adhikari, we include shama, dama, uparama, tidiksha, shraddha, samadhanam, all that. Where shamaha means shantihi. So, adhikari and muktaha, they both have got shanti. Adhikari is still at the ajnani level. He has to reach, still he has to still become a jivan muktaha. So, he has not got it yet. But a mukta purushaha, he already is a jivan muktaha. For that person, they both also have got peace of mind. But adhikari's peace of mind is only a relative peace of mind. Whereas jnani's peace of mind is absolute peace of mind. So the approach is what? Get the relative peace of mind first, study Vedanta, and then Vedanta will get you absolute peace of mind. So without relative peace, one cannot get absolute peace. That is why Swamiji gives a very beautiful example. A poor man does not have any method of getting money because of perhaps illiteracy or whatever it is. So what he thought? I should get money only in one way, that is by buying a lottery ticket. But what is the problem? To buy the lottery ticket, he has to have money. Then what is the answer? One should be endowed with at least a limited money. Then you buy a lottery ticket and hope to get a lot of money through that perhaps. So similarly, for coming to Vedanta, one requires some peace of mind to start with. And with that, buy Vedanta, the lottery ticket, and through Vedanta, one can hope to get lot of peace of mind. Swamiji gives this as an example. So, apekshika shanti or mishra sattva, then Vedanta. And that leads to atyantika shanti or shuddha sattva. That is why Shankaracharya adds the adjective here. Parama prashantihi. Parama. Parama indicates atyantikatvam, absolute peace. It is not a relative peace, it is absolute peace. Then triptihi. Triptihi means contentment. No more comparison with others. The greatest problem that we all have is what? Comparison in any field. Comparison creates what? Discontentment. The struggle begins right there. Even in scriptural study, this happens. One student who has studied Gita, Bhagavad Gita only, he can get jealous of another who has studied both Gita and the Upanishads. And that person might be jealousy of another who has studied Gita, Upanishad and Brahma Sutras. And there is no limit to this at all. Because knowledge is limitless. People also, if they start comparing, their jealousy also can go to limitless bounds. So if Vedanta is not assimilated, jealousy can come even in Vedanta field. Once Vedanta is assimilated, triptihi. No more comparison, no more jealousy. Then prakarshaha. Prakarshaha means total fulfillment, purnatvam. In fact, tripti is a consequence of prakarshaha. Because I am totally full, I am complete, purnahasmi, తృప్తహాస్మి, దర్ ఫోర్ ఐ హవ్ గాట్ కంటెంట్మెంట్. ప్రజహ అదియదా కామాన్ సర్వాన్ పార్థ మనోగతాన్ ఆత్మన్యేవ ఆత్మనా తుష్ట స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞోస్తు తోచ్యతే. కృష్ణా సరి సెకండ్ చాప్టర్ స్థిత ప్రజ్ఞ పోర్షన్. వన్ హూ డ్రాప్స్ ఆల్ బైండింగ్ డిజైర్స్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద డిస్కవరీ ఆఫ్ ఫుల్ఫిల్మెంట్ దేర్ ఆఫ్టర్ వర్డ్స్ ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ హీ హ్యాస్ డిజైర్స్ దోస్ డిజైర్స్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఫార్ ఫుల్ఫిల్మెంట్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఫుల్ఫిల్మెంట్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ ఫార్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్రెడీ హీ ఫీల్స్ ఫుల్ డిజైర్స్ ఫార్ ఫుల్ఫిల్మెంట్ ఆర్ బైండింగ్ desires out of fulfillment are not binding. So praharshaha means fulfillment and triptihi means the consequent freedom from binding desires. Then paramatma nishtha, being ever established in paramatma, his real nature. And again, what do we mean by being established? We should be careful. It doesn't mean any action, but non-forgetfulness of the fact that I am paramatma. When? Even when the ego is invoked for worldly transaction. That is most important. For example, non-forgetfulness may be possible in the class. For example, when we are discussing all those things, we are focused. So non-forgetfulness may be possible here because one does not invoke one's ego as the husband, as the wife, as father, mother, manager. Nobody thinks of all that right now. But when the ego is not invoked, Vedanta is easier. But when ego is invoked, then only problems arise. Because when ego comes, I am so-and-so also comes. The transactions come. I, the father, etc., ego must be invoked at that time when I do the transaction. So even when the transaction ego or empirical ego has to be invoked, I don't lose sight of my absolute nature. And that is called Atmanishta. So even during worldly transactions, day-to-day transactions, I do not lose track of my real nature, Atmanishta, or Brahmanishta, or Jnananishta, or in the language of the second chapter of Gita, the Sankhya Yoga, Sthita Prajna. So all those things are same. Then one more doubt might arise. If it is not, let us plant it here. In the second line, Swatmanubhutihi, it is given, and now Paramatmanishta, that is given here. Both are given. What is the difference between Swatmanubhuti and Paramatmanishta? Both are knowledge alone. The difference is what? In Swatmanubhuti, the Aparoksha Jnanam is talked about, whereas in Paramatmanishta, he talks about the Jnanam without any obstacles like doubts and habitual tendencies of Dehatma Vasana. That is a Viparita Bhavana. Right from childhood, I think I am only the body. But that Vasana is there in me all the time. So I have to learn to overcome that. So that should not be there anymore. So Pratibandha Rahita Jnanam and Swatmanubhuti is there. So Pratibandha Rahita Jnanam is this one and Swatmanubhuti is Jnanam, pure Jnanam. And we have to see one more point also. The scriptures categorize a Jivan Mukta is Vishuddha Sattva Purushaha. That's how they characterize him, a Jivan Mukta. And other people also see him as Vishuddha Sattva only. So, but the beauty is, the jnani himself does not claim himself to be Vishuddha Sattva. Because all other people, they look at him as Jivan Mukta, Vishuddha Sattva Purusha, all that. All other people. The scriptures also categorize him as Vishuddha Sattva Purusha. But what the jnani himself thinks, he does not claim himself to be Vishuddha Sattva at all. Why? Because this Sattva Guna predominance belongs to whom? The Atma or Anatma? The Sattva Guna predominance belongs to Atma or Anatma. Certainly it belongs to Anatma only. Therefore, Jnani Sanatma is Vishuddha Sattvaha. But he does not claim that Anatma has his nature. Therefore, he will say what? I am not even Vishuddha Sattvaha. Aham Gunatitaha Asmi. I am beyond all Gunas. I am beyond Sattva Guna also. That is what the Lord said in the 14th chapter of the Gita. Nanyam gunepya kartaram yadadrashtanu pashyati gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam sodhi gachyati. So who is a jnani? If he asks, we have two answers. One from other's angle and one from jnani's own angle. From other's standpoint, jnani is Vishuddha Sattva Purushaha. And from the jnani's own angle, he is Gunatitaha. that is called Paramatmanishta or Gunatita Brahmanishta. So because of this, what does he enjoy? This particular jnani, what does he enjoy? Yaya. Rasam Ruchati, he attains Ananda Rasam, the juice of Ananda, that's what he enjoys. Rasa is only a figurative expression. He drinks the Rasam of Ananda. When does he enjoy? Sada. There is no particular time he enjoys. It is all the time, Sada, always. And again here also, when we say enjoys Ananda, we are not talking about experiential pleasure. All these things I have outlined earlier itself. We are not talking about any experiential pleasure, because any experiential pleasure is what? Is conditional. It is conditioned by time, conditioned by space, situations. Then it will temporarily, it will be only temporary. When the conditions go away, the joy also will go. But here the Acharya talks about Sada Ananda Rasam. That means not in terms of experiential pleasure, but as wisdom. I, the Atma, I am Ananda Swarupaha Asmi. So Ananda Rasaha means Ananda Swarupaha Iti Jnanam. My nature is Ananda Swarupaha. Then I am ever full, complete. I don't lack anything in life. This wisdom, Aham Brahma Asmi, Aham Tripto Asmi, Aham Purno Asmi. That is the kind of knowledge he has all the time. Shloka 120. Avyaktametat Trigunair Niruktam Tatkaranam Nama Sharira Matmanaha Sushupti Retasya Vibhaktya Vastha Pralina Sarvendriya Buddhi Vrittihi. So all this avyaktam, shaktihi, there are so many names were given to this maya. We saw all of them. But Shankaracharya has not named it karana shariram so far. In all these shlokas, we use the word karana shariram ourselves. But Shankaracharya never used that word karana shariram in any other shlokas so far. So if you look at the shloka in 108, that is where many of these discussions started. There, what did he say? Avyakta namni paramesha shaktihi anadya vidya trigunatmika para karyanumeya sudhiyaiva maya yaya jagat sarvamidam prasuyate. He used all other terms, avyakta maya shaktihi, all that, but he did not use the word karana shariram so far. He only said there is a shakti for the Lord called Paramesha Shaktihi, Parameshwara Shaktihi, which is called Avidya, which is called Avyaktam, which is Trigunatmika, which is Maya. All those terms he used. But he did not say why he is discussing this Maya. After discussing the Stula Shariram and the Sukshma Shariram, he enters into the Maya discussion without telling what is that Maya. In this shloka alone, he says that the Maya that I had discussed all along is Karana Shariram, the causal body. He is using the word Karana Shariram only in this shloka, shloka 120. So to avoid suspense, we introduce the word Karana Shariram there itself for our convenience. Because Stula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram we discussed, so naturally Karana Shariram has to be discussed. So we use the term, but Acharya, he didn't use it so far. Otherwise, there would be a doubt perhaps why he is discussing Maya after Sukshma Shariram. Right? Here he says that Maya is Karana Shariram. So he says, Etat Avyaktam. This is the Avyaktam, the unmanifest principle, the seed of the entire universe. Etat, whatever has been discussed till now from Shloka 108, he refers to all of them, which is said to be consisting of the three gunaha. Trigunaihi Niruktam, the three gunas. That is Sattva Guna, Rajo Guna, Tamo Guna, Ihi Niruktam, which is constituted of these three gunas. And this seed of the universe alone, that is otherwise called Karana Shariram, the causal body. So Karanam Shariram Nama, the causal body. Of whom? Atmanaha, of the Atma. That means what? Whether the individual body mind is resolved or the total creation is resolved, the experience will be the same only. Suppose the whole world is resolved, pralayam comes, whole world is resolved. What will be my experience? If a person wants to know, is it possible to resolve the whole world first? It is not possible. How it will be during pralayam? suppose we want to know, or what happens before Big Bang? There's a Big Bang. Before Big Bang, what was there? How was the universe? If I want to know, the scriptures say, you need not have to destroy the world to know the condition of pralayam at all. You are regularly experiencing the pralayam, the pre-Big Bang state every day. What is that? During sushupti, during deep sleep, it is a pre-Big Bang state only. That's what the scriptures say. How do you say that? Because during sushupti, only my organs are resolved. Still, there are night duty people are, see, only I am, when I go to sleep, only my own organs are resolved. But there are so many people who are night duty people, or so many people are working when I sleep. Further, the scriptures, they answer, even though the world is very much there, the world is as good as not there, because we don't experience it. For me, the world is as good as not there because I don't experience them. So in sushupti, what you experience is the pralaya avastha alone. Whatever happens to the entire prapancha during pralayam, the same experience only I am getting right now during sushupti. There is no experiential difference between pralaya and sushupti. There is a technical difference between pralaya and sushupti. In the pralaya, the world is really resolved. But in sushupti, the world is only seemingly resolved because I don't see it. Not the world is resolved, but I don't experience that. Therefore, it is karana shariram of the atma. And what is the unique state of karana shariram, in which the karana shariram plays a predominant role as is? He says, sushuptihi etasya avastha. The deep sleep state is the state in which the karana shariram is dominant. Why? Because the sthula shariram function and sushma shariram function are all swallowed by karana shariram. All my knowledge, my ignorance, my emotions, they are all not there when I am in deep sleep. They are all swallowed by what? Karana shariram. And how do we know karana shariram swallowed it? Swallowed means solid. Because when we wake up, all my knowledge, ignorance, emotion, worries, etc., they are all again born out of karana shariram. I say I had a nice sleep. How do I know? I was in deep sleep. Nothing was known to me. But I still say I had a great sleep when I get up. That means what? The seed condition. It was all in dormant condition. That is called the karana condition, karana shariram. So he says, sushuptihi etasya vibhakti avastha. Etasya means karana sharirasya. For this karana shariram, sushuptihi is the vibhakti avastha. Vibhakti means distinct state. We can call it distinct state. So, sthula shariram is dominant in waking state. That is jagratavastha. We are all predominantly physical in jagratavastha. When we are in the waking state, we are predominantly physical. Not that sukshma shariram is not there. It is also there. But sukshma sharira backs up the sthula shariram. It supports the sthula shariram. And so, our personality is dominantly physical. Whereas, in sukshma shariram is dominant when? During swapnavastha, that is dominant. And why do we say so? Physical body is there also in swapnavastha, but it does not play any dominant role. It is just only lying down. The entire dream world arises out of my own thoughts, vrittis, which is all sukshma sharira. That is why we use the word sukshma shariram is dominant. In all avastas, all the three shariams are present. They are not absent, but only one of them is predominant. In deep sleep state, sthula shariram and sukshma shariram are non-functional. Only the swallowing body, namely the karana shariram alone, the resolving function, that alone is functional. Therefore, sushuptihi etasya vibhakti avastha. And what is the definition of sushupti? Actually, that is defined in the fourth line of the shloka. Pralina sarvendriya buddhi vrittihi. Pralina sarvendriya buddhi vrittihi. It is a state in which all the functions are resolved. Vrittihi. Vrittihi means the functions, thoughts, whatever. Pravrittihi. Functions of whom? Sarva indriyas. All the 10 organs, pancha jnanendriyas and pancha karmendriyani, all their functions are all resolved during deep sleep. And even if the hands do not do any action, for example, the hands, they don't do any action. But even, for example, you may turn, you may do this way, that way, whatever one can do, they are not conscious actions. During deep sleep, none of them are conscious actions. That may be involuntary, or unconscious movement of the body. But we don't consider them as functions because the word functions mean what? Deliberate karmendriya or jnanendriya's action only. We call it deliberately action. Because people walk in sleep, somnambulism. Some people have this disease. They walk in sleep. They are not deliberate walking. After waking up, if you ask them, why did you walk last night? He won't even know that he was walking. So deliberate functions are called pralina, totally resolved. Not only all the sense organs functions are resolved, sarva buddhi vrittihi, all the functions of the antakaranam also. Buddhi refers to all the antakaranas, mano, buddhi, chitta and ahankara, all four. Buddhi stands for all these functions, so memory faculty, the emotional faculty, the rational faculty and the ego faculty. All these functions except one, what is not resolved. All others are resolved except one. And even in deep sleep, that is not resolved. That is pranaha. So all these pancha pranas, they all continue. Thank God, they continue. If they all discontinue during sleep, that's it. We will have a permanent sleep. Then there won't be any more difference between sleep and maranam at all. So one can sleep only once then. Actually there is a beautiful usage for animals and all. If they suffer, they do this actually. If a dog or some pet animal or anything, if they suffer, very sick or whatever it is, they euthanize them, give an injection and they literally kill it. For that they use an idiom, it is put to sleep. That's what they use. At the human level, the debate is still going on whether to do it or not, when somebody is really suffering, terminally ill, whatever it is. So the only difference is the prana function is not deliberately continued. No will is involved or required. Prarabdha is enough to make it function. As long as prarabdha is alive and kicking, the person will be breathing. If prarabdha is not there, is stopped, then the person will no more breathe. I need not consciously breathe at all. That is why Swamiji says, if breathing also is a deliberate action which you have to do, then people might forget to breathe also sometimes, because they forget so many things which are all deliberate actions to be done. They forget to do. So if breathing also becomes a deliberate action, they may forget it sometimes also. So the Lord kept the emergency functions in his own hand. He didn't give it to our discretion. So we'll keep on breathing as long as prarabdha wants us to breathe. And therefore, in this line, sarva, that should not include prana. So all other functions are there except the prana functions. Except the prana are resolved. And that state is called sushupti avastha, and that is the stage in which the karana shariram is dominant. So in the sthula sharira, the jagrata avastha, sthula shariram is dominant. In the swapna avastha, sukshma shariram is dominant. And in the sushupti avastha, karana shariram is dominant. But all the shariras are present in all the three avasthas. None of them are absent, but only one of them is dominant. So we'll stop here and continue in the next webinar. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu narayana.